here. We're going to be considering our Lord Jesus as our great high priest. And in the reading that you had a little earlier, you may have noticed in chapter 14, just a sort of brief moment, you saw the name Melchizedek there, who was, of course, the priest that Abraham met, who seems to have come from nowhere. No father, no mother, no beginning, no end. And Abraham offered him, in Genesis 14, a tenth of everything. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he is our high priest, not descending from Levi, like the priests of the Old Testament, but descending, as it were, coming as Melchizedek. Some say Melchizedek was the Lord Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. And I've got a few visual aids to show you in a little while. It's a little bit technical when we think of the high priest and all of his garments. They is quite a lot of detail that's given to us in Exodus 28. And of course, you see there's this kind of apron, this outer apron of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet. On top of it is the breastplate here over his heart. On his shoulders are two onyx stones, each with the six of the tribes of Israel on one, six on the other. And then below that, there is a garment of blue. And below that, he had a garment of linen, just white garment right next to his skin. So that on the Day of Atonement, when he was bringing blood to atone for the sins of all the children of Israel, he took off all the outer garments, and all that remained was that inner garment, the ephod of white. And it's a picture of our Lord Jesus when he was crucified, that he laid aside everything, his glory in heaven, his dignity, and he was nailed naked to a cross. And it's a picture of that. In fact, so much of the high priest relates to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know from one of the letters of Peter that those who wrote the Old Testament had the Spirit of Christ within them. They were not just writing about the histories of that time. They were focusing on Jesus. And so that's very much our focus this morning. And I want us to think about this and to think of the beauty of these garments as well. In our chapel in Tottenham, one time I remember going up into the loft, and on one wall, which used to be visible when you were meeting in the chapel, is written, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And you know, we tend to think of holiness perhaps as not very beautiful. Maybe someone has told us off. Someone has told us we're wrong. And we can think holiness is finger wagging, judgmental, not very nice. But biblical holiness is full of love, mercy, good fruit, purity. And real holiness is a beautiful thing. And the garments of Aaron, and we can say the garments, the spiritual garments of our Lord Jesus, are beautiful. And in Exodus 28, we're told in verse 2 and verse 40 that they were there for beauty and for excellence and glory. That's why they were given. That's why he was wearing them. It says, I'm just going to find the right page now, in Exodus 28, and it says in verse 2, "You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty." For glory and for beauty. So the high priest, he was in charge of making sure that everything happened in the tabernacle in the right way. And the tabernacle itself all points to Jesus. You know, you think about the altar of burnt offering, the sacrifice. Jesus, one sacrifice for our sins. Beyond that, the laver. And in the tabernacle, there are no dimensions to this big bowl for washing. No dimensions are given as a picture that cleansing from sin, it's as if there's no limit to it for those who love the Lord. Jesus' blood can wash us from all sin. And then within the holy place on the left, the seven branch lampstand, because Jesus is the light of the world. And on the right, table of showbread, because Jesus is the bread of life. And right in front of you, the altar, golden altar of incense, because Jesus is God and worthy of all worship. And beyond that, the veil, symbol of our Lord's body, the veil that was torn in two from top to bottom when Jesus actually died on the cross and breathed his last. And beyond that, the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could enter that Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement once a year. And once atonement was made, the children of Israel had to rejoice. They had the Feast of Tabernacles, 8 days of joy, where they had to rejoice before the Lord. So the picture that we have is of holiness as beauty, holiness as joy. And when we think of our Lord Jesus, we see a life of absolute holiness. Jesus said to the crowd, "Which of you can convince me that I've sinned?" No one could. Pontius Pilate, who got to know Jesus, said to the crowd, "I find in him no fault at all." One of those who were crucified with him said to his friend, "We suffer the just reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. His purity is absolute." And when we look at ourselves, we say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. What am I to do? How can I ever be holy?" But the wonderful thing is the holiness of Jesus covers our unholiness, if you love Jesus, covers our nakedness as we look to him. So I want us to look at the garments for a moment, and then later on we'll just have a quick glance at what we find in Hebrews chapter 4 concerning Jesus as our high priest. So I want us to think about this ephod there in verse 5. You see there was an ephod, that's the outer apron there of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen skillfully worked. Now gold, of course, is a picture of God as our king. And blue, I mean, I'm just trying to use the obvious here, is for the sky, for heaven. The whole plan of salvation was worked out in heaven. And Christianity is not about us being good enough for God and reaching up to God, because we can never do it, but of God from heaven coming down to us. Blue, purple, and scarlet. Purple being a royal color. Scarlet, the color of our sin, the color of the blood of Jesus to cancel that sin. And again in Exodus 28, you have blue, purple, scarlet. Now, of course, this is just a kind of replica that we did, and these aren't real gold bells, okay? But someone in our church was willing to sew these and stitch these for me. So we have golden bell and a pomegranate around the hem of the blue garment. And you can see it in this picture around here. And a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate. And I'm just looking here to see it. Verse 33, on its hem, you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet. Again, salvation from heaven down to earth to cover our sin. And to me, the sound of the bells is in a way a picture of words, our words. And the fruit, the pomegranate, is our life. Some of us are really good at talking, but we don't always live it out. We have to not only come to church to sing and sound like the lovely sounds we heard this morning, beautiful singing, beautiful playing, but we need to live it out. What about tomorrow? Do we really want to be holy tomorrow? To bear fruit tomorrow? And how important the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, and all the fruit of the Spirit. Too many people are all talk and not really living it out. We need to live it out. What you are, not only when you're here, but what you are when you're alone. We need to be holy wherever we are. And the high priest's outer garment, this blue garment rather, gives a picture of that in the bell and the pomegranate. The bell and the pomegranate. When we think of his breastplate, and I've got here a sort of picture of it, although each stone would have had gold around it, behind it. The breastplate was over his heart. And the jewels represented each of the different tribes of Israel. So that whenever the high priest was praying, he was praying for them. He wasn't praying for everybody else. And this is very important. You know, in John chapter 17, when Jesus prayed to his Father, he says, I pray for those whom you've given me out of the world. I don't pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. And Jesus has the names of his people over his heart. And he prays for us day and night. He prays for us even when we're not praying for ourselves. It interests me that sometimes we don't even feel in danger. We don't feel we need prayer. You know, how often do you ask someone to pray for you? You might say, well, not that often. Every few weeks I say, could someone pray for me? But we need prayer all the time. The conflict out there is too harsh in 2022 for us to leave off prayer. We need prayer all the time. And the wonderful thing is, if you're a Christian this morning, you have Jesus praying for you. It says in Hebrews 7 and verse 25 that he ever lives, he always lives to make intercession for us, to pray for us. And our names are on his heart. Now, if I was the high priest, I might have said, well, I don't know. The sons of Jacob were not always that holy. You think of Judah, he betrayed Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Maybe let's take Judah's name off. Simeon and Levi, they were murderers. Let's take their names off. And you know, sometimes when we think of even other believers, we might say, well, I don't know if I really like that believer enough. I'll pray for others. I'll pray for the ones I really like, but I don't want to pray for the ones who are difficult, the ones who give me trouble. I'm not going to pray for them. But the high priest prayed for all of them. Even with their faults, he prayed for them, prayed for Israel. They were over his heart. So that every sacrifice he offered, every time he offered incense before God, their names were on his heart. And the Bible says he's not ashamed to call us brethren, brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed of us. He bears our names on his heart. And on each of the stones was inscribed the name of that tribe. He's not ashamed of us, but sometimes we can be ashamed of him, can't we? I remember many years ago I had a leather jacket on and I had a Christian badge and I thought, you know, today I don't really want to wear this badge. And I tore it off and I took leather with it. And I thought, well, there's a lesson for me. And you know, when I was trying to think of a text for the back of my car, because you know, sometimes Christians put texts on their cars, don't they? Most of us want to park on a double red line. So we don't really want a text on our car. But you know, if you have a text, I said to my friend, what should it be? He said, just have chief of sinners. Then you can speed, you can park on a double yellow line, you can double park, and so on. Well, the point is, what I'm saying is that we mustn't be ashamed of him. So I'm not saying you've got to have a text on your car. But in the 70s, a lot of Christians wore a Christian badge. With Jesus, or Jesus saves, or whatever it may be. And you know, you can't be bolshy when you're wearing one of those. When you're in a queue and someone pushes in front of you, you say, sure, the last will be first, and so on. You stay calm. When you don't have a badge, you say, excuse me, who do you think you are? You know, it's good for us. Think about that. He's not ashamed of us. And are we ashamed of him? I believe that every Christian, whether they wear a badge or not, should let people know that they're saved. When you go into a new job or into, if you're a student, into a new place of study, let people know you're a Christian. I've known Christians say, well, I'm going to leave it about 6 months. I'll get to know them a bit, and I'll sort of blend in for a while, and then I'll tell them one day. I'll stand up, say, by the way, I'm saved. Don't leave it that long. It gets harder and harder to tell people. Tell them right at the beginning. Make it clear. Bring a Bible with you. Make it clear. And you know, unbelievers like it if you're straight with them. They may not always like what you believe, but they like it when you're straight with them. They don't like it when you're playing tricks with them. And in the Old Testament, the chameleon was unclean. So if we just blend in, it's not the way we should be. If we just try and become invisible, that's not what we're meant to do. We're meant to be lights to this world, aren't we? So the breastplate is very, very important. Not only so, but the person who stitched this for me, and it's done in two halves, as it were, folded over and sewn, made two little pockets, one in each side. And these are for stones that none of us can have, which are the Urim and Thummim that was read out earlier. And these stones, somehow, we don't know how, guided the high priest. If he asked counsel of the Lord, he would hold those stones, and somehow they guided him. About a matter of judgment, someone was being accused of something, it might be false accusation, and he would go to the Urim and Thummim. And you know, Jesus, we're told in Psalm 40 that he delights in the will of his Father. I delight to do your will. He delights in whatever the will of the Lord is. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but when I pray, I find it very hard sometimes to say, your will be done. It's almost as if we feel that God is ready to hurt us, and that if we say your will be done, it's going to be the worst way. Everything's going to go the worst way. But we need to remember, straight after the Sermon on the Mount, that there was a leper who came to Jesus full of leprosy. And he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will be clean. And Jesus healed him straight away. He left it up to Jesus. He didn't demand it. He didn't claim it. He left it up to him. And you know, when you're really sick, it's quite hard sometimes to say, Lord, if you will, you can make me better. I leave it up to you. It's hard to say that. But it's very, very important for us to submit to the will of the Lord. And there is another thing that is mentioned here, and that is in verse 36. You shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. Appears a bit like it, but it says Kadesh Ladonai, which is holiness to the Lord, or holy to the Lord. And there was a cord of blue attached to it, and the high priest wore this over his forehead, over his turban. Wherever he went, he was to wear this, holiness to the Lord. Imagine if you had that on your forehead wherever you go. Imagine that. Could you have that? Would you dare to have that? Holiness to the Lord. To me, it implies that his thought life was meant to be pure. Not only for Aaron, but we think of our Lord Jesus. His thoughts were pure. Even when people hated him, he would not return hatred. You remember those Roman soldiers who were crucifying him? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, you and I, our thoughts, if someone was trying to kill us, what would our thoughts be? We might feel more enmity towards that person than anyone else. But Jesus' thoughts, all pure and holy. Holiness to the Lord. Very important part of his garments, of the garments that Aaron would have worn. So Jesus is our high priest. He has his ephod of blue. He is from heaven. And on one occasion at the treasury, Jesus said to the people around him, He said, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not from this world. And the way that Jesus taught us is not like this world. This is a very petty world, a vindictive world, a vicious world, a frightening world. I would have thought that after two world wars in the 20th century, that we would be never wanting another one. But in my Bible, it says in the last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Here we see today, 127,000 Russian troops on the edge of the Ukraine. What are they doing there? Why is there still enmity in the world? Why is there still hostility? But such is the world that we live in. And we are not allowed to hate. We must love. We must show love to those who hate us. Bless those who curse us. And Jesus taught us a way that is not like this world at all. He taught us to love our enemies. He taught us to be willing to be last and least. If we want to be great, we can be great only by being the servant of others. He taught us a way that is alien to our flesh and blood, to our natural sinful inclinations. But it is the best way. And I want to just end by drawing attention to Hebrews in chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, where Jesus is identified as our high priest. And we are told towards the end of Hebrews and chapter 4, we are told this, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus has passed through to the heavens, and he prays for us. And as I said towards the end of chapter 7, it says he ever lives, in chapter 7, verse 25, to intercede for us. One time Jesus spoke to Peter, and Peter didn't feel in danger. And Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Peter, because Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you repent, strengthen your brothers. Peter didn't feel in danger. Perhaps at this moment, you and I don't feel in any danger about tomorrow or the next day. But maybe there are temptations there that we're unaware of right now. And we need Jesus to be praying for us before those temptations come, that God will help us to stand, that God will give us strength to be faithful to him right through to the end. And here it encourages us to see Jesus as one who is tempted in every way as we are, and yet without sin. And therefore he sympathizes with us because he's had all of these temptations that we have. It says he can sympathize with our weaknesses. One who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know, if a human being has been tempted and they don't sin, they tend to become proud. If somebody has been able to control their appetite, they look at everyone else as greedy and uncaring about what they eat. In every step that you make towards holiness, it makes you look around and say, what's the matter with you? You've just been able to have a good time of prayer. And you meet someone who says, I struggle to pray. You say, oh, look at you. Don't even have any faith. We look down on those who fail to reach our standard. Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And instead of looking down on us, he sympathizes with us. He feels the heat of our battles. He wears our names on his heart. And if anyone here is not a Christian, let me encourage you to ask Jesus to be your Lord. to be your high priest, to be the one who prays for you, even if you can't pray for yourself. Remember that he bears the names of his people. He loves his people. You can become one of those people if you turn to him and ask him to be your Lord. I remember before I was saved that the name of Jesus annoyed me. I remember Christians talking about him, and I didn't like them talking about him so much. But you know, Jesus is worthy of us talking about him all the time, praising him all the time. The Apostle Paul said, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. May it be for you and for me that we love our high priest, that we praise him forever, the one who has gone into the heavens and who prays for us when we don't even have strength to pray for ourselves. Let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are our high priest, that you were willing to lay down your life for us. The high priest of the Old Testament offered the blood of animals, but you offered your own blood when you died on the cross. And Lord, I thank you that you're alive forevermore, and you pray for us even when we haven't got strength to pray for ourselves. Lord, I pray for anyone here that is not yet saved, that you would save them. And for those of us who are saved, Lord, help us that we might be people who follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that we might want our thought life and our outward actions to be holiness to the Lord, to be holy in your sight. Cleanse us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing together a song that talks about our Lord Jesus as our high priest. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. So let's stand to sing together.